Log Talk Radio.
That's funny. Hi, everybody. This is Taree, and we've got Di on the phone. Di and I do a show on Sunday nights. There's a law that says he has to be attracted to me, because it's based on our book, and we cover topics out of that book that Di and I wrote, co-wrote together. Had a lot of fun writing it, a lot of entertaining people that we talked to in the process, and a lot of angels that were very entertaining and some of their answers they gave to us. So, remember that guy. So, anyway, I got a feeling, a message, and to do a show on this, what are the red flags in a relationship? And you can just find them out in about 5 minutes' time. And Di and I decided she liked the idea. Di, you're there, so welcome. I know you've been busy and kind of just chilling out today. So how are you feeling? Are you ready to do a great show tonight?
Yeah, so the red flags, yes, definitely, which we, you know, which we've ignored sometimes. At times we've ignored it, and then it comes back to haunt us.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? And you get them in the first 5 minutes, okay? So, you know, we're talking tonight, what are the red flags? And it's not based on age or gender, right? Although the obvious red flags with a couple of them are, I met a guy not too long ago. He says, hi, I am XYZ, and I was at the beach, and he says, yeah. And he goes, I just got divorced. I was married to the Antichrist. That's a red flag. Okay, right? No, God bless him. Yeah, I was married to the Antichrist. So it goes, is that a red flag or what? You know? So,
like some guy who asked me, some guy in the came, you know, I meet a lot of different people, and he said, so are you married or happy? And I was like, wow, I've never heard that before.
Yeah, there you go. I'm happy. Yeah, exactly. I wonder how people, many shows are going on talking about you and I, Di. I met this girl. I'm this woman, right? So, that's an obvious red flag. Are you married or happy, right? Or are you cheating? You know. So if you're cheating, I've never cheated but once before. That's another red flag, I think. Do you think? Red flag if somebody's cheating in a relationship.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one. That's a good one. I've never cheated but once. Only once, so it doesn't count. Only once.
Red flag. So, you know, I find them entertaining because, you know, cheating is not an issue for me, right? But if cheating has been an issue for other people in a relationship, then, you know, it's going to show up as a red flag, right? So for me, I said, you know, it's not one of my red flags. So you got to label your own. So what are some other red flags that you come across? Because I know you've done a lot of motivational speaking and a lot of interviewing people yourself. And by the way, guys, this is not only for romantic relationships. This is for any kind of work relationship, personal relationship, friendship, you know. So anyway, family, right? Let me just text me. Family, yeah, family works. So what are some of the relationships you've experienced a red flag with? Or talking to people that you know that you've worked with in interview.
With me, I mean it's what everybody's issue personally is. So with me, it's like cheating, or it's that I'm not I think I've struggled with feeling like I'm as valuable as other people are, or not as valuable. I think I'm as valuable. I've struggled with asserting myself and demanding to be treated equally. And so that's true. It certainly is true in work relationships as well as personal relationships. But, you know, somebody else's issue may be greed or something like that. I mean, you know, so they're going to have some red flags that have to do with that. And so I think it's just whatever your own issue is that you struggle with your own self-worth, you know, issues, that'll be what you have trouble with in a relationship, because that's usually with your personal relationships. They make you work on the biggest self-worth issues that you have within yourself. So whatever it is, it may be that you are a prima donna, you know, I mean, whatever your own issue is, maybe you're spoiled, maybe you're entitlement, maybe you just, you know, struggle with feeling like you're valuable, that's what the other person is going to bring out in you always. They always bring out the worst issues that you have to work on. And so those will be the red flags. Whatever those issues are, you'll get the little, you know, warning signs right when you first meet someone. And you really do, but we always try to dismiss them. But
right.
You learn to heed those little, that little voice, you know. And it may come to you in different ways. It may just be something that this person does reminds you of yourself, maybe, or reminds you of a next lover, somebody who made you feel bad in whatever way it is. It may be like me. I get pictures in my head of another person from my past. Doesn't matter, doesn't man, woman, whatever. And I'll go, oh, yeah, I see the connection. You know, this person did this, and now this person's going to do the same thing, that something that I may have thought was wrong. So it can be red flags in a numerous ways. Do you get those kind of, I'm sure you do, as a psychic, do you get those, like, little pictures in your head?
I do, but I'm going to share this with you guys with something, because this is so important, right? So, especially being clairvoyant and intuitive or whatever you want to call it, because we all have it, right? And I've been able to see angels since I was 3, and they'll give me pictures. But I'll be talking to someone, a client, for instance, and they're going, this guy or this woman, I'll use this guy. This guy came into my life, has come into my life, and does he love me? Is he going to call me? He's treating me like this. So then they go to another, and we do coaching here, so it's more than doing a reading. It's like coaching because, coaching, you see a vision. That's what we do here, and then we give you the tools. So when you go to someone else, let's say XYZ down the street, maybe it's whatever that person is, a clairvoyant or coach or, you know, shrink or whatever, I'm going to tell you this, you guys, and Di, you just said it. I have a person that she's got an issue with someone that is showing up in her life, okay, 2 people actually, and mm-hmm. they're not treating them right. They're standing them up. They're making them wait. They're being rude and mean and all the things that are totally not nice. Okay. And mm-hmm. What's the answer? Right. The most, you know, shrinks, most coaches, most people are going to say, okay, well, you know what? He was just bought in here, or she was just bought in here for you to get it. You know, they're not good for you. They're bad for you or whatever. But I'm going to give you this, okay, because I got this tonight. I was like, I need to really, really ask why this is happening and help these 2 people, because this is 2 things that's happened this week. So this is the answer I got. He and she needs to heal herself first before she can be with any, or he can be with any man. She's looking for great mm-hmm. love. Look in the mirror first, okay? Because we're looking for this great love, right? And so look in the mirror first. Demand to be treated better. Relax and let everything happen in divine timing. Because in divine timing, there's no waiting. There's divine timing. And he'll come back to her, but make him wait. So, you know, until you can treat yourself better, then he's going to treat you better. Because if you're waiting for him to treat you better before you treat yourself better, forget it. Or him, or, you know, him or her. So you guys, when you go to another, and I've seen people do this, you go to someone else, well, they said this person is bad for me. They're not good. Of course they're not, because they're here. Relationships are the only way we really learn. And then they mm-hmm. become better for you when you heal that issue, just like you were saying. So you look for the great love, look in the mirror first. That was the biggest thing I got. And when you can find it in the mirror, then you can find it in another person. And mm-hmm. and those things that really bother you, you know, you'll be able to heal. For my issues, they're different than yours. Yours is like being put first. For me, it's like, do not boss me around. Do not hold on to me too tight. I'm just a person mm-hmm. who likes a lot of freedom. I'm not talking about cheating. But I like a lot of freedom. And so if somebody's not used to freedom, as someone told me today, I'm really worried about you. I'm afraid you're die because of stress and running. Runners die and get heart attacks, and people that are fat and lazy get heart attacks. It's like, man, I should be running and die of a heart attack there, right? So I'm looking at this situation, and I go, okay, what is this person really telling me, you know? And I'm going to say this. You get these messages, you know, from people, and I realize that he is a great person. But he's lived a certain life, right? And he's used to being the boss and in control. So I track that because I don't like control. And I need to probably chill out on that. And if, you know, and that kind of thing. I have another guy who attracts, he attracts women that are broken, that he needs to, she came to him and said, I need money. Yeah, I'm broken. I'm selling my blood plasma. I mean, who does that, right? And this person does. And this guy, so that's a big red flag. When somebody comes broken and says, I need you to help me, or don't help me, but I'm going to tell you about my problems and hoping that you'll help me, and you're pouring money into them, that is a red flag right there. So look at their life. Are they together? You know what I mean? And why? And then saying, well, they're not together, and bitching and moaning about that they're not together and you're helping them, really say, why the hell did I attract this person, or how did I attract this person to me? That's a big question.
Right.
And then you start healing yourself, and then you start really opening the door to love, because the more you love yourself, the more you're going to open the door, you know. So, by the way, if I kill over with a big old heart attack, I'm going to be happy for the answer.
You go, oh, you told me so.
Yeah. Anyway, don't worry, I'll come back and, hey, Di, here's a lottery number. It's all good. Those are flags you'll meet in the first 5 minutes. And ask them those questions. What's some questions that you can ask? You know, one of the questions I always ask a guy when I meet him, or a client, I go, tell me about you. What, you know, who you are. What's your passion? Well, I had a passion. Then that's a big red flag. If they don't have a passion, if they're not on fire about something that they're doing in their life, get out now, okay? Because, you know, your guy, he has passion, right? You know, doesn't he? He has passion about his motorcycle.
He does, right? Oh, many things. Politics, Harley Davidson's.
Right. He has passion about riding. And if your passion is finding a mate, probably not the best passion, okay, because that's usually coming from need rather than desire. If your passion is, like, looking pretty, being passionate about your life, where opportunity and money is chasing you, then you're going to get the mate, if that's what you're looking for. You know what I mean? So, question
to
ask
people,
is, what do you...
How about people...
Go ahead.
Go ahead. How about people who don't think that they are... who don't see the red flag? But I think usually your family or your friends do. You know, how do you get through to people when, like, you know, I now have several friends who every one of us who are her friend who could tell her she needs to lose, you know, she needs to lose the guy that she's attracting, you know. So what do you do with people who have red flags all over the place and they cannot see them?
Well, you know, what you do is, and that's a good one, because you're, and once again, that in itself is a challenge, because what do? Your kids, for example, right? That's
right.
A big one, right? How many times have you seen your daughter, let's talk about that for a moment. You know,
totally.
How do you tell them? And my own daughter, right? I just want to shake her sometimes, you know, she's not a child. So one thing that you do is you're like, man, okay, I got to step back and observe it, because I'm going to tell you this. She's here to learn a lesson, and I can only help her so much. And then I got to watch her fall down, like I've fallen down, like you've fallen down, or him, or whoever your friends are, and say, hey, you know, I think you know, I'm going to tell you what I see, and I've done that with her. Now I make her pay for reading, just like you know, and. Some miles away, but what you do is, and this is a hard one. It is so hard. You step back and go, okay, she's got to learn her lesson, and I can't watch it. It's hard for me to watch my own daughter or my friends, and so I just pull back and inside myself and leave it alone, because it's drama. I don't need to be involved in that drama. That's between her soul and the person she's learning the lesson with. You know, her soul and the person. That's hard to do. I know we got a coach here. She's got two daughters, and she's had to do that with her own two. You know, and I was like, how does she do that? And I've had to do it with mine, and you've had to do it with yours. And you've had the hardest time with that, right? I know I have, you know, too. But you realize if you step back and start looking at her, say, okay, this is like her lesson. What is her lesson? And if you know your daughter or your son's lesson or your friend's lessons, you know, they're here to learn self-worth. There's a karmic bond between these two. You know, then you step back and let her learn it. Now, that only goes so far, because if they're in mortal danger, then of course you take precaution there and call the police. to, you know, if my daughter was in trouble tonight and she was getting hurt, I would call the police, right? You know, I'm saying mm-hmm. within reason there. So emotional stuff, you know, being emotionally abused and you know, and that kind of stuff until she learns the lesson and moves on. And you can talk to them and
right.
give them that stuff, but, you know, that's something that, you know, you think about there. So those are a couple things, that red flags that you look for. I want to share this to you as well. And if you ask, man, I'll never forget this, you guys. I had a guy. I was engaged with a dude, and we had a past life together. We all do. And so I said, show me who he's like. So they showed me this guy that I dated was a total jerk. I was like, but they showed me him putting on nice clothes and a suit and tie, like, because this guy was under a couple of businesses. This was years ago. And I was like, oh, I can't be like him. I'm just going to ignore it. Well, it was like him. It was the worst relationship I'd ever been in. I got out, obviously, but, you know, so it was all good. But ask your angels. They, or ask God. Ask your higher powers. Hey, show me what this dude's about, you know, or show me what this person's about.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because control is a big thing, and I'm super sensitive to it. What's one of yours? Laziness. I'm, you know, super sensitive to someone being lazy. I'm super sensitive to somebody being closed-minded, right? You know, or
mm-hmm.
trying to
mm-hmm.
for me to do something. Or why isn't it like this anymore? Well, because you're pushing me. I don't like to be pushed, right?
Right.
So I have to, you know, so I told that to my dad the other day. Anyway, it's all good. So what are some of the red flags that you've noticed with maybe your daughter? Your daughter's had red flags. What are some of the ones that you picked up on?
You know what? She would pick up on them, you know, very quickly herself. Snobbery. Snobbery was one. You know, we hate snobbery. I mean, she's like me in that way. And little things, you know, before she met her fiancé, she would date guys, and I know that was really one of the things that she absolutely could not tolerate was people who had this attitude that they're better than somebody else. And you see red flags like that in somebody right away. It's how they talk to the waitress, or, you know, when you go out. I mean, you see that kind of, and I've had the same thing where, you know, you have a date, and you know, it's first date or whatever, and you see your date talking down to the person where you're buying coffee from or whatever, and immediately you know, this guy or girl, whatever, thinks they're a little cut above, you know, everyone else, and it's a huge turnoff. And I mean, you can get little red flags about personality problems, you know, or to me, that's a problem. Snobbery is a big problem. Maybe.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Yeah, but I mean, it can be in any number of ways, you know. It's just being receptive to the person. In fact, you remember a guy you actually met that I dated briefly. remember, and he was very
yeah.
attractive. And so I looked
yeah.
past the fact that he was freaking annoying. You know, he talked my own minute. It was all about him. Yes. And so, you know, that's, you know, obviously I knew that before I met the guy, because when he called me, when, you know, our first phone call, I'd met him online, we'd exchange emails, whatever. First time I gave him my number, me for a good 30 minutes, he talked at me. I don't think I said 10 words. He talked the entire time. And so, and it was like talking my own minute. So right there was a red flag that this guy, totally into himself, he really doesn't care, you know, to hear how your day
right.
was. So stuff like that, I mean, it just totally depends on what your personality, what you want in a mate. It's not that, you know, I
That's
mean,
true.
This guy, somebody else wants that. You know, somebody else wants that in a mate. I didn't want that, but to me, I should have seen that red flag as he's totally about himself, you know. And so it kind of depends on what you're wanting and what you're not wanting. And sometimes a person will look so attractive to you that you want to dismiss the little red flag. You just, you know, pat its head down, and, you know, you don't want to look at it. But it's there. It's always there right from the beginning, those little warning signs. And it doesn't matter what it is. It's maybe just like cheap. I don't do cheap. I cannot stand cheap men.
Oh, God.
And that's
I
something
know.
That,
yeah.
Oh, my God, you know. You know how I am. Yes.
And that's something you see immediately if you go out on a date with someone. You know, I'm old-fashioned. I will always pay for stuff. And, I mean, my boyfriend can attribute. I will always pull my share. But when we go out to eat, I like the man to grab the tab the first date, you know. And when some guy sticks me with his coffee or whatever, and he won't even pay half, you know, that,
yeah.
He'll never have a second date, you know. So that, you know, it's just whatever really you hate, you know, whatever qualities that you don't like or whatever issues you struggle with, there's going to be some signs, you know, right away when you meet someone, whether they are what you want or whether they are what you don't want. But basically it's seeing those qualities, seeing those red flags instead of being so enamored with that person that you dismiss them. But that's hard to do, isn't it?
Yeah, and no, it really isn't. A question that you, in looking at what they do, do they pick up the tab or do they talk about money and how broke they are? Or do they talk about,
mm-hmm.
and that's okay if you talk about, but, I mean, we all have a Cinderella and Cinderella story. You know, we came back from this, but the miracles happen when you live in the now, and that's something I do know. And, you know, and so if you're, like, looking at that person and they are broken and they are financially broken and you're just like, oh, that appeals to you on some level because you feel like you can heal them, that's your work to do, and you do not even know that, okay, that you're thinking that, but you're like, oh, I feel so bad for him. I'm going to help him. Let me listen to him. Get out now. Get your cross and garlic and get out now, okay? You know what I mean? Wear your cross and garlic.
Yeah.
I used to do that, you know. One of my coaches years ago, because I always used to coach in my life, he said, Tariq, he goes, do you feel bad because you grew up with money and that you have to help everybody? And I go, maybe, you know, and when I really looked at that, I just don't do it anymore. And pretty recently, I have a friend of mine, and she's like, I'm so lost, I'm so broken. I go, you did some things that I cannot help you with. You need to figure this out yourself. It's one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. Because walk away, you know, and make sure she gave her money for food, but make sure, you know, do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I couldn't do more.
Right.
I could do more, was I going to help her?
Right.
So that's something there. But also, guys, when you listen to them, I don't have my mother and dad I don't have a good relationship with, or my father left me and I don't have a relationship, whatever. Ask about the family dynamic there, because usually if they haven't worked on themselves and done some spiritual work, it's quite challenging. And I said this before, whatever spiritual work you do, whether it's Course in Miracles, whether it's something with angel coaches or whether it's Tony Robbins or whatever it is, to look at yourself and put it under a magnifying glass and become transparent, then and you haven't looked at that, then there's a lot of anger there usually. And you're going, okay, I'm not going to deal with this, because I'm going to promise you, if nobody says self-work on themselves and they're carrying that lot around, that's their soul's deal to do that until they choose something else. But do you really want to be a part of that, right? Now, I watch that from a distance, right? It's like watching TV. Not close up from a distance.
Right.
So, wishing you the best. So, yes. You know, that's it there, too, as well. So that's something, you know, and I always wonder, like, their exes, right? Do they look at, well, I should have never dated that person. Really? That person prepared you for the next person and so on. So how do they talk about their exes or their wives or their husbands or their girlfriends? You know, I mean, they're wacky people, so have you, but they taught me what I want, because I didn't like get that with them, you know?
Yeah.
That's all good, you know? It's all good. So those are just a couple of red flags. So asking questions or, you know, and looking at their life, you know, a little bit, because they'll tell you about it. If they're like, oh, I just want to settle down and get married. And I've seen guys do that, right? I did it with someone, gosh, pretty recently, it's been a while, but pretty recently, and he's a lot younger than me, and I talked to you about this, and he came, he said, what do you say to me? He goes, I would like to move in with you, and I was like, yeah, okay, and this is like on the first time we went out, and I go, what do you do? And he's a lifeguard, and it was great, but wasn't going to happen, and, you know, so... But I looked at how his parents, his issues with his parents, his issues with his ex, and issues, you know, all that stuff. I was like, this looks good for tonight, you know, and having dinner with him, but don't want to do this again, you know. So I'll ask questions. It's always good. And I always tell people that, too, as well. Yeah, you know, because I work with a lot of people, and so do you. And one of the questions that I ask is like, okay, they always have some shadow of financial or love or something that they're working on or they would like to work on. And so what is it, you know? But you guys, if you're looking to help that man or that woman that is really hurting and you think that you are their answer is not you. Their answer is inside of them, okay? And you can be their friend. But if you want to really be a part of that drama, you know, then you can stick around for it. But there's someone, but if you feel it in yourself, you don't need to stick around for it. You know what I mean? Or you can work like Angel Coaches do. We help people, you know, with different issues in their life, but do it from a perspective of helping them like a teacher or a coach, you know. So that's what I think. But, you know, control. Remember the control guy you had, Nodge? Remember Nodge?
Yeah, oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yeah. did that pop up right away?
Oh, it absolutely did. I mean, he was another one that monopolized the conversation when I first met him. I was really put off. You know, I felt like I was being interviewed, and I was. But, I mean, it was just bullet fire questions. And, you know, I just walked away feeling like, wow, he really didn't give me anything on himself. He just, you know, interviewed me to see if I was the right person for the job. I mean, I really did not get, you know, it was just a very weird, very strange first meeting. But, yeah, there was definitely, I mean, I think back on every single person that I've dated that things did not work out with, there was usually something right away. You know, even the first date or first meeting, first talk on the phone, there was something right away. And I'm sure there was something with them, too, because I wasn't the right person for them. I'm sure when they met me, there was something right away that they went, yeah, you know, that bugs me, but I, you know, she's attractive. Or, you know, I mean, I'm sure it goes both ways. So I'm not saying that there was anything wrong with them. It's just that there was something about them that wasn't going to work, you know, with me. So I think almost every single one, there was an issue right away that I've raised this little head, but yet I dismissed it. And I can look back on every one. Isn't that sad?
No, I mean, because
mm-hmm.
I can do the same thing. And you and I walked this walk together. I mean,
mm-hmm.
in the sense of with men, and God will tell me, Tari, he's this way. I go, okay, well, you know, and I usually won't last more than one day with somebody anyway, because I'm like, oh,
right.
This is not going to
be
fun,
yeah.
And they're going to, yeah, because they're going to hold on to me too tight. I don't care how good-looking or how not good-looking or how whatever they are, if I feel like I can't breathe,
mm-hmm.
I'm done. And
right.
I wonder how many times they're like, this one's a little weird. And, you know, like you said, and I'm sure that I give off that vibe on some level, you know what I mean? And so they're probably saying the same thing. But,
right.
You know, in all fairness to all of us that are listening now or will listen to it later, there are red flags right off the get-go that, you know, and you look at your own life instead of saying, okay, I don't want to be with them, or maybe I can change them, or maybe I can help them. What is it about me that I need to look at? And man,
mm-hmm.
great love will show up in the when you look at your mirror, itself in the mirror, and find it there first. I know that
right.
without a shadow of a doubt, and that's something. And a friend of mine told me this. She goes, Tari, you're not open for love. You're not open for great love. And she goes, you need to open your door. He's like, well, okay. She's funny. And
I don't want it right now.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, okay, I'll open the door someday. No, I'm teasing, but
okay.
She told me this some time ago. And I was like, okay, maybe she's right. So, you know, I'm working on that, opening the door and that kind of thing. So because I'm sure that I give off that vibe, and someone's like, oh, I'm not going to look for a commitment with her because she's too whatever. So we all give off the vibes, all right? So it's not about us being right and that other person being wrong. It's about really looking
right.
at our own life and saying, okay, how can I be the best I can be? You know what I mean? But you ask the questions, right questions, and they'll show up for you. But I tell you something, the best one I've ever got, how does he treat his ex? And one of the other questions, have you ever been in love before, really in love? And how do they talk about that, with sweetness and gentleness, or are they harsh and mad about it? You know what I mean? So that's
mm-hmm.
a big thing right there.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody's harsh and mad about it,
yes. Yeah,
they may be holding on to something just a little bit.
Oh, I know.
All good.
Yeah, you know. Bitterness you'll never get past.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. You know. And let me ask you a question. You had a great love before. How did you know that it was going to be something special? Okay, I know with John, because he's love into. I know the other has taught you how to love, and you get to experience great love with John. But in the past, you've had a great relationship, and how did you know that was going to be a great love? Did you know right off the bat? Was there any red flags right there?
No, I didn't. I did not. I felt completely comfortable right off the bat. I felt like I was meeting a member of my family. Complete comfort, you know, complete ease with that person. And it wasn't like, I didn't walk away and go, oh my God, this is the one, you know, I didn't have that feeling like, oh my God, love at first sight. But I left saying, you know what, I felt completely at ease with this person, and if he never called me again, he was a nice guy. I mean, that was really what I, you know, that was kind of my feeling at that time. And there was no red flags on that first date, you know, with that person. It was just a nice dinner, you know. I felt completely at ease. So there was no red flags, you know. I mean, red flags came later.
But
right,
not at that
right.
time.
Yeah, there you go. It was a great love that you enjoyed overall, right? You know what I mean? I know there was a lot of pain.
Oh, definitely.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, and you know, I like that, because that was one that you really inspired me with, you know what I mean? I was like, oh, well, she can have that, I can too. And
something that a friend of mine told me, one of my coaches actually, he said, Tari, he said, I want you to look at people when they're running. He said, when they're running and they're moving their head like this, like they're like, posturing, or being the better, he goes, I think they're at, and he's an athlete, and he says, I think they're being better than everybody else, and look at me. I was like, okay, he's right. He said, and they've got the socks on, which I wear the socks, compressed socks, you know, because they help my circulation. He says, and look how they're dressed. Is everything perfect? And I was like, okay, I'll look how they're dressed. And how they're moving their head. Are they talking to everybody, or they're in their space, right? I was like, okay, is this true? Well, he is true, right to a certain extent, but look how a person is. Are they open? Are they friendly? Are they reaching out for people? You know, because we had a guy on, Brian Mora, a couple weeks ago, and he's, like, really professionally dressed, but he's also extremely open. And so, you know, how is that person? Are they backing inside their skin, being a snob, or, you know, are they shy? You know, so look at that. So when I started running with people, if a girl is running in a ballet outfit, puts a little tutu on, because you have people that do that, miracle. I was like, now that's an open person. They're fun to talk to. Or, you know, some of the guys that I've met at the, you know, running, and I go, what is their vibe? And I'll see them, like, running in these really crazy outfits, you know, pants or running shorts or whatever. And I was like, but they're fun, you know, and they're magical, and you talk to them. Mm-hmm. And I've seen some guys dress really super, super athletic, and everything's perfect, but they have this gentleness about them, you know, and you can feel the vibe about them. And that's usually someone that, you know, you can pick right away to talk to, and there's no red flags. But if you see someone that's got their nose up in the air, and they're like, I am really good, and they can be, you know, in a bar, in a running or something like that. So that's something to look at, too. They may be shy, or they may be meditating, you know, stuff like that, whatever. But really check the vibe out. You know, are they doing it, say, looking at me, I'm one of the best, and that's okay. Or they say, look at me, I'm the best, and I hope you're the best, too, because, you know, we're all awesome here on the, you know, whatever we're doing. So that's something that I'm learning to do more rather than judge them right away. So that's something that is what the vibe that they give off. You know what I mean? So, and if you're finding that vibe of gentleness and goodness in them, it's usually because you're feeding yourself first. So anyway, that's good. So do a couple red flags, ask questions, how they treat their what do they say about their folks? Do they do any spiritual work? And you can find that out in different ways. I've used law of attraction. Oh, so do I. You know, that's a great person usually. You know, in the sense that they've done some work on themselves or at least read about it, you've got a lot to communicate with. Or, like you're saying, you know, look at how they talk about their exes, whatever, marriage or girlfriends. You know, did they learn something from them? And do they talk about great love with gentleness and tenderness like you just did, you know? So that's a key for me. A key for everybody else, I hope. And there's so many more, but those are some things. And if you feel like you're being interviewed, or a job, it probably is going to be a job, right?
Yeah,
one
get
of
out.
Those ones.
Get out.
Same gang jobs. Do you remember you had to talk him into sleeping in a bed because he was asleep on the floor? That was funny.
Yeah.
That's all good. Very military dude. Anyway, thank you for sharing, being so open, because you've got some great stories there with your daughter and everything. And what's it like living with a great guy and having your grandbaby? What's that like? Are you enjoying your life? Tell us about that, because you've got this whole new life that's opening up for you. Tell us about being a grandmother.
I know, if I was
really young.
I'd stop. Yeah. So young. Not really. I'm feeling old. If I would stop hurting myself, I'd be enjoying it a lot more.
I hear you.
I can't pick up the grandbaby right now with the cast on. But it's so different. You know, it's such a different life from where I was at a year ago. So things happen, and all of a sudden you're where you want to be. So you just have to believe that you're going to get there, of course. But you have to also heed the red flags and not go there with the wrong person. Which, you know, you have to make, you know, we have to make our mistakes. We have to go into relationships that teach us stuff, that are just kind of stepping stone relationships. And so that's how I look at all of them. You know, it's like they were stepping stones to get to John.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Yeah, you know. Aww. And they were necessary. Yeah. So if, you know,
like
just so long as he's not seeing a lot of red flags with me.
I'm thinking he's saying, what a beautiful, I got the golden goose. There you go. It's all good. So you're a cat's eye. You really are. He knows it. You're like my sister, and I know it. So anyway, and, you know, and if he doesn't treat you the right way, then we got your daughter there to take care of everything. It's all good.
Oh, yeah.
Know, so. she's a tough cookie, but she's a good girl too. And well, and Di's got a grandbaby, Lila, it's wonderful. My grandmother never looked like you. I had grandmothers that were crocheting and drinking beer. It's all good. But so you and John's riding a motorcycle. He's step grandpa, and Di's young and beautiful. So. Things are changing. Anyway, you guys, we've got a couple shows coming up this week. We've got on Tuesday night, we've got Manifesting, Techniques to Manifest, Making Great Life, and people that are actually doing it. So if you have a passion or you'd like to find your passion, that would be a great show for you to listen to on Tuesday night, because it's going to help you develop it, find it, make it happen in every area. On Thursday night, it's Transformation Thursday. There's different people on there. That are changing their lives, coming from tragedy to triumph, triumphing over tragedy. And last week we had a young lady on there who had got stabbed 16 different times, and now is an activist for women, started her own not-for-profit organization, is an amazing, amazing soul, and she and I are doing a fundraiser together to help the Broward County, and I cannot even remember it now, but I'm going to get the information. But we're putting a fundraiser together, a 5K, so we'd love for you guys to run with it or fly down here and run and help us with it. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And so we have Thursday night, we've got Transformation Thursday. So we've got a young athlete coming up. She's 26 years old, playing volleyball, professional volleyball, coaching kids. And she says, you know, God has really helped me with my ability and my gift. And I'm super excited about having her on. We've got her coming on. We've got another gal that, a young lady who's 20, in her 20s too as well. And she's making her own clothing line. And she's got a great story because she's in her 20s and doing it. And somebody said, are you really think you can make money with that? And she's getting ready to open up a shop where he has his kids. So she started making making her. And so we've got some stories like that, and I've got another gal coming on, or a young woman coming on, who is she's really into food and training, and so her passion is helping people get healthy. And so you don't want to miss that. It's Transformation Thursday, Mind, Body, and Spirit. You guys, we've got some good stuff. And, of course, on Sunday we have you and I doing You Mean There's a Law That Says He Has to Be Attracted to Me, and that's our book that Di and I co-wrote together. And you can get it at angelcoaches.org or amazon.com. And I was going to say, Di's getting ready to put a site up with us, so you can get it there too as well. She's got a lot of other books. I like the Facebook one. So the Facebook is the best book, and it's funny. Okay, our book is funny too. So tell everybody what your Facebook one is, because
That's the greatest passive aggressive weapon ever. Yeah, it's really about passive aggression in social media, and you know, people use social media now to get what they want or to make their point without having to be an adult about it. You know, they do it passive aggressively.
Yeah.
And you know, it's sad. It's like that as a nation. I feel like our culture is just immaturing instead of maturing. It's like the adults are going back to things that they did as kids. They don't have to, you know, talk to people in person. They don't have to have tough conversations face to face. They can do it via posting. And so it's just a book that pokes fun at that and talks about how to get out of that rut where you are being hurt by it and you're captive by it and you're running home to sign online and see what your friend said or your ex, you know, posted or whatever. And so it's really kind of getting a life and getting away from passive aggressive people who use social media to hurt people or to make their points now. So, but it's a fun, you know, it's in humor, but it's also a self-help book. So it's just one of those things that was kind of near and dear to my heart in a matter of speaking.
Dai's got humor that is very dry, and you can see it in our book, okay, that we have together and also in the books that she's written. And she's an amazing writer, and I know more's coming. Okay, you guys, so if you like our show on blogtalkradio.com/angelcoaches, because you get a lot of free stuff and some neat gifts, and all you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com/angelcoaches and follow us. Follow us on facebook.com/angelcoaches. And then Instagram, I have an Instagram, Instagram, sorry. So I'm just figuring all this out, and if you know, too, as well. And I've got a great marketer that's marketing us now, and we've got some great angel coaches that are coming on board. And you guys have been amazing. Thank you for listening on our show tonight. And follow us, as I said, on blogtalkradio.com/angelcoaches, facebook.com/angelcoaches. And send me an email at Tari@angelcoaches.org or hit me up on facebook.com/angelcoaches. You guys were amazing, wonderful. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the download that we'll get later. And we appreciate you very much. Take care, everybody, and have a great night.
Thanks, Tari. Bye.